It's time. It is that time. That time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. We got you. 10th official show. We are now in the double digits. And that means it's time to get a little bit spicy.
Okay.
Spicy on a Wednesday. Is there any hot sauce that starts with a W? Right, Tapatio Wednesday. That might make sense.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of something. Somebody help me. Somebody help me.
Wasabi Wednesday.
Wasabi Wednesday. That's why you get paid the big bucks,
yep.
Nate. We are very excited for Wasabi Wednesday. And because that is at 12:15, we have the most controversial topic that has been brought to Styles and Watkins, possibly at Sactown Sports.
Oh, jeez.
That's at 12:15. There will be a poll on YouTube. We want callers, 916-339-1140. We want the text line. Chris doesn't even know
the
question.
You won't tell me.
Nate doesn't even know the question. This is the most controversial topic that we've ever discussed. That is at 12:15. You won't want to miss that. You also won't want to miss Frankie Cardicelli at 11, our Sactown Sports Kings reporter. We're talking Kings, of course, no De'Aaron Fox or anyone that you've heard of on the Blazers for that matter. Lakers and LeBron complaining a little later in the show. We will get into ranking some QBs because it's time to have a conversation about Brock Purdy.
Oh, no.
And who is he really better than? The numbers could say this, the EPA, the GPA, the PPA, they could say whatever. I want to know who you're taking Brock Purdy over. Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Chris Watkins Wednesday. How about that?
Hey, there you go.
There
how
you
about
go.
That? Yeah, a lot better than the wet blanket Wednesdays. it's good. It was weird to not really have any sports to follow yesterday unless you're a big NHL person. But
right?
It was just weird. I think this is the first day I feel like in a really long time where there's just been absolutely no sports on a given night. So feeling good, feeling energized, and curious what's happening at 12:15. I'm kind of scared. I'm not gonna
you
lie.
Should be.
I'm
you
like nervous be. That you're just gonna turn everyone on you. Or
yeah,
like
and
you're just gonna say something outlandish.
I just ask questions. That's all I do, and I wait for answers. Speaking of, we know there wasn't a lot of sports going on yesterday.
Yeah.
So what better time for the San Jose Sharks win their first game? They are 1-10.
Wow.
And I have no clue what happened. I'll be honest. I went to a Sharks game years ago, maybe 5-6 years ago, and it was a great experience.
That's
I think hockey live is outstanding. I don't know what happened to the Sharks. The last I saw of them is when they were in the finals along with the Warriors, and neither of them won.
Gotcha.
And then after that, they just fell into a land of mediocrity, and now it feels like it's worse. So shout out to the San Jose Sharks for getting off the schneid and winning a game.
Well, yeah, and I wouldn't even say followed. I've looked at the scoreboard from afar, and I've already seen that the Sharks have lost twice by 10, or have allowed 10 goals twice. And again, not a big hockey guy, not a big hockey expert, but I don't think I've ever seen 10 put up in a hockey game, and I've definitely not seen it twice in the first 15 games of a season. So yeah, clearly things are not going well in San Jose, but I also have similar memories of the Sharks of, you know, I remember when I was a kid or growing up, it was like the Sharks were in, they were a top three seed every year in the conference.
Right.
And every year it felt like they were either losing in the first round or making it to the Western Conference Finals and then getting swept. And then
right.
I think the year that they actually did make the Stanley Cup, if I'm not mistaken, they got swept as well. I could be wrong on that. Or they went 7 and lost.
Yeah,
in
that was
fashion.
The 3-1 year for the Warriors.
Was,
and all I know is they didn't win.
Yeah.
And then after that,
ever since then.
After that, it's been, hey, how are the Sharks doing? And
which
you
brings
know.
Up the time old question of would you rather, like, if you're not going to win the title, would you get as close as humanly possible?
Right.
Or would you rather just suck and not have any hope and maybe get, you know, generational prospects up top?
Yeah, I mean. I think it feels like that's what's been happening to the Sharks after that happened. They've kind of been hanging in this middle ground where they, you know, haven't stunk until now. Maybe I think the last couple years
really bad.
So maybe they're starting to stack up and getting some guys in there like Joe Thornton and some of the names that we've been used to, and building a new foundation,
sure,
because the old one is definitely long gone. So shout out to the Sharks for getting their first getting W, and that's what happens when there's no sports.
Yep.
The Sharks lead the show.
Yep.
And that's no disrespect. Yeah, that's like I said, I like watching hockey live, playoff hockey.
Look, I've got a hockey sweater. Sorry, not a
there
jersey.
There you go. Not a jersey. I like watching hockey live. I even, Chris, as we continue to learn about each other, I even played a lot of hockey growing
really?
Up.
Really? Oh, I can't even skate.
I did roller hockey growing up, and I was pretty nasty, I will say. And I didn't really do that much ice. There was a rink in Oakland and a rink in Dublin, which wasn't very close. So I did a couple camps, and then after that, okay, it's been good and fun. But I actually returned back to the rink in 2019 as an adult,
really?
In an adult league.
That sounds dangerous.
Right before the pandemic happened, and then after that it was over. But I still got it. I still got it. This is all pre-Achilles. The whole time I'm just frying it, not knowing that this thing is just being singed over and over again. So shout out to the Sharks for getting it done. Like I said, great show going on today. Frankie Cardicelli at 11. We're actually going to do two segments with Frankie. We paid the premium.
Yep.
Frankie's going to stay with us.
Frankie Plus.
Frankie Plus.
Yeah,
you gotta
got that
get,
subscription.
Yes, the Fruss, right? We got the Fruss package. Fruss. So we got that going on. And, you know, as we get into a little bit of the Lakers and the Raiders as well, did you see on Bussin' with the Boys, Max Crosby come out and say that story as far as, oh, Josh McDaniels stood up and said, and the whole thing kept on escalating, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing kept escalating, and it turned into he stood up and said, don't talk about the Patriots like that. I know we sat here on this show and joked about it, but nobody believed that, right? Did you really believe he said, don't talk about the Patriots like that?
No, I really wanted to believe it because it's an all-time great story, but I figured that it went a little bit differently. Like maybe, you know, maybe he did say it, but he said it more like in the back of his office, like, hey man, I just want to say thank you for having my back there. Great speech. And,
right.
If you ever talk about the Patriots like that again, you're gone. So good speech though.
Yeah.
That's how I assumed it went, but it turns out, I mean, he might have more just been like, don't talk about one of my teams. Like
well, the thing is, if he had said it the way it was reported in terms of, hey, he just said it to Antonio Pierce to the side, then who would have got that information? Right? How would anybody have
unless
heard?
Unless someone was ear hustling. But, I mean, yeah.
It's just,
there's no
the
way.
Whole thing was just bizarre to me. So, I didn't believe it. The only thing that I believed could have happened was that maybe he said, don't talk, maybe Josh McDaniels said, don't talk about one of my teams like that.
Exactly,
because my team went down. Mm-hmm. Don't talk about one of the teams that I coach like that. But don't talk about the Patriots like that. Come on now.
Yeah.
That sounded crazy.
Kind of thinking about it, either way, it's like, okay, like, I mean, you kind of missed the point of the whole rah-rah speech. Like, you should be more excited about the fact that I just possibly saved this locker room from imploding, and your biggest concern right now is I might have, by, like, accident, thrown an accidental shot across the bow. Like, that's really not important in a moment like this. So, I mean, and what's interesting, too, is the initial report from Jay Glazer was that statement from McDaniels is what led to ultimately Mark Davis saying, well, if you're not with, like, if you're so concerned about everybody else, we want people who are, you know, thinking about
us.
And not, so like, where does the falsifying of information begin in that story is, I mean, it's interesting for sure, but I mean, clearly something similar to the story happened. It's just, we don't know the exact
specifics. It's just the idea, the story that has kind of evolved into he stood up and said, you don't talk about the Patriots like that. That didn't happen.
I really wish it did, though.
I know you do.
I really know you do.
And Max Crosby is a professional. He's not going to sit there and say, oh, yeah, man, it was so embarrassing.
Guy's a bum.
Right. He's not going to do that. But either way, there was no way that he sat up there. He was going to sit up there. I just didn't believe. Josh McDaniels, not a good coach.
No.
But
I also
think it turned into a bit of a meme,
For sure.
And it's now, you know, Antonio Pierce riding in his Chevy. I don't know if you saw those.
Oh, I did.
You know, his nice cars and all that, really just embodying that Raiders culture. and it's just Josh McDaniels, who, to be fair, all of this, you know, bringing in Jimmy, apparently there was a report that Ziegler actually did not want Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow.
And Josh McDaniels said, you know, I know what I'm doing.
That's my guy.
So that's my guy, and he's only your guy.
Yeah.
So, he, you know, and some of the other guys that he's brought in, it has worked. So
for sure.
Not to say that they were all misses, but ultimately, I don't know. What the over-under, and I don't even know if this is technically over-under. We got to get to a break. But chances that Josh McDaniels is a coach in the NFL again, eventually.
Just a coach, not a head coach.
Oh, a head coach?
I'll put the number at 65%. You taking the over or under?
Under.
Oh, way under.
Okay, 35%
then. Under. I'm still going under.
Okay.
I think there's like a 5 to 10%. Guys, he is the only head coach in NFL history to get fired twice from two different jobs within the first 2 years.
Hmm.
Everyone else has made it at least out of the first 2 years of their head coaching stops.
What about coordinator? What about offensive coordinator?
I think it starts at like quarterback coach, and then unless right. I mean the only way he's getting, let's just call it what, the only way he's getting a job is if it's with the Patriots,
right?
That's what it is, like, it, or somebody who's of the Patriots, you know, coaching tree, because I mean that's what Josh McDaniels brings at this point is just the Patriots name with him, and
right.
that's and I think we're quickly seeing that name probably doesn't hold the same
not
weight.
Not the same,
that it used
because you're
the
not
past.
The same without Tom. Got to yeah. get to a break. Another name, and we can go up in against this as well. Better chance of being a coach again, Josh McDaniels or Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, these are some of the Ooh. Names that you just wonder, but it's the way he went out. That's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
The way he went out. Got to get to a break. When we get back, we are going to read off the Blazers roster for who is playing tonight, and we want to know how many guys do you recognize. And then we're going to talk about betting, and we got a couple, not necessarily betting, but a couple different ideas we have of what we will do if the Kings lose this game. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
We are back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Nate behind the boards doing his thizzle, as we like to say. Chris Watkins on a Wasabi Wednesday. You're not going to want to miss 12:15, the most controversial topic that I have brought to the Sacramento airwaves.
Oh,
I thought long and hard about this. And I'll be honest with you, my wife said don't do it. She actually said don't do it.
Okay.
But you know what? I'm a grown man, and I'm going to do what I want, even if she says not to.
That always leads to success, right?
Yeah.
When your wife especially is telling you not to do something, and your direct reply is, I'm a grown man.
I'm a grown man.
I'm going to do what I want.
And I'm going to do what I want.
I really hope she's not listening.
No,
really
I hope she is.
Uh-oh.
I hope she is, because you created this. Look around. Look around.
We built this.
We built this. We made all
this. None of this was here before we got here.
None of this was made before we got here. As we talk Kings a little later, we're going to talk LeBron complaining, because that's what he does. And he also has to talk about himself, because that's what he does.
Oh,
Frankie
yeah.
Cardicelli at 11:15, Sacktown Sports Kings Insider, will be in studio, in the stew with us, blazing the microphones. And a little later, we are talking Brock Purdy, the Niners, and ranking QBs. Who would you take Brock over? I got another interesting question as far as Brock Purdy is concerned. But for now, we're talking Kings and we're talking Blazers.
Mm.
And we're talking about, and you know what? Maybe I was a little disrespectful now that I've pulled up the roster.
Uh-huh.
And maybe we should chill on, basically, I hit up Nate and I hit up Chris and I said, hey, with who's out for the Blazers, right? That and that's Anthony Simons,
yep.
Okay, another big money guy. Also, their new one, Scoot Henderson, out as well,
mm.
right? And you have Ish Wainwright out as well. With all these guys out, we should put a couple wagers. We even said, hey, maybe I'll buzz my eyebrows if the Blazers yeah. lose.
I got
if the Blazers win. If the Blazers win, I will shave my
that
eyebrows.
Definitely,
but I
didn't Alan
use it as an example.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that. So I'm trying to think. We're gonna workshop here. We need your help. 916-339-1140. We're just trying to will the beam.
Sure.
We're trying to will a win out of the team. So YouTube chat as well, text line. What will you do? Mm-hmm. How confident are you? What will you do if the Kings lose tonight? I'm not going to shave my eyebrows.
I definitely will not shave.
But
my
I'm
eyebrows.
Trying to think here.
I got an idea.
Okay.
I think, I mean, this is more on you guys. I'll do it too. But I think what we do for maybe a whole hour or two segments,
oh gosh,
cut a bunch of onions in there and just have them sit open. And to do a whole segment dealing with the onions distracting you.
That's going to smell, and Carmichael Dave the Drive guys and Jason Ross are going to destroy
it. Well, it's the Kings' fault then. Blame it on the Kings.
Right, because they stink.
It's not on us.
They stink, literally, if they lose. Let's read off the roster here before, you know, not to get too disrespectful. Like we said, they got some big money guys, and even though you have Scoot, who actually hasn't played very well to start off his career anyway, Anfernee Simons, who a guy that I am pretty big on, he's not playing either, and Ish Wainwright, not a huge money guy, but, you know, he's there as well. And by the way, Trey Lyles is not playing. We're going to get an update from Frankie as far as what that deal is, because Cavs, they just scare me in general as somebody with an Achilles injury. So let's go through the roster, and let's not be too disrespectful.
Okay.
You got DeAndre Ayton. Does he move you?
Not really, but I'm interested to see how he looks in this Portland situation, because now that he's kind of removed from that Phoenix situation, I'm curious how, especially with everyone out, Anfernee Simons and Scoot out, like how big of a scoring load do they kind of put on his shoulders, and how much are they kind of banking on him realizing his talent? Because let's not forget, like, you know, the Kings got murdered for taking number 35 Marvin Bagley the third, number two in that draft. Let's not forget that the Phoenix Suns also passed on Luka, also passed on Trae Young, also passed on Jaren Jackson Jr. and took DeAndre Ayton at number one.
Wow.
That's still a guy who's got a ton of talent, or had was viewed as having a ton of talent at one point. He's an offensive weapon. He can get buckets really easily. It's going to be interesting to see him against Sabonis, but overall, I think this is like a perfect person for Sabonis if he wanted to make a physical statement and just kind of physically dominate a game. No pun intended.
Yeah.
DeAndre, because DeAndre Ayton calls himself dominating.
Right.
DeAndre Ayton's kind of, it's horrible. He's a perfect center to go against if Sabonis really wants to kind of get a get right game. So it'll be interesting to see that matchup together, and we'll see how it goes.
He's making the most money on the team.
Exactly. Yeah.
32.
Well, there's no way he's making more than my guy Jeremy Grant now, is he?
Jeremy Grant
because
is making 27.5. DeAndre Ayton's making 32.4.
That's crazy. Oh, my God.
So DeAndre Ayton's making the most. It's the battle of two guys, let's be completely honest, that the outside narrative has said they could be a bit tougher.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not going to say the S word, but they could be tougher.
Yes.
So it's a battle of, hey, I'm not Charmin, I'm not Kleenex, which is which? So that's DeAndre Ayton for you. And quickly, another name, another guy who's not playing. I feel bad, especially being on the Blazers with Brandon Roy and some of these guys that we've seen have these knee issues. Robert Williams, another guy out.
And I just saw that.
It's starting to look like
might not be
it's
it
not
for
good.
Him. Yeah.
It's not good.
He was already undersized too. And it's like you rely so much on your verticality and just your leaping ability in general when you're an undersized big like he is. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like DeAndre Jordan. Like, once he loses that little bit of leap, it's pretty much over for
him. It's curtains. So hopefully it's not curtains, but you look at guys like him and even Alonzo Ball, and wave of guys that injuries are starting to derail their career. So hopefully he can get back, but he will not be playing tonight either. Going through the list, another very confusing guy. This is one of my top confusing careers to me. You know I love those. Malcolm Brogdon. I don't know what to do with Malcolm Brogdon. He's getting paid $22.5 million, right? He was supposed to be the savior for Boston.
Yep.
They threw him on the bench and continued to start Marcus Smart, which was just bizarre to me. He was supposed to be their point guard. He can get after it sometimes, so don't want to disrespect him.
Definitely not.
Moses Brown, another guy making $2 million. Tumani Kamara.
Never heard of him.
Don't, you know.
I love basketball again. Never heard of him.
Jeremy Grant. So this is the guy that you got to worry about the most.
I would say
27.5 mil. We know Jeremy Grant. And you know what? I'm really surprised that he was a name that has not popped up in more trade conversations. I know he just signed the extension and there's rules now that he signed it. But Blazers, what you doing?
It didn't make sense. I mean, the move at the time was maybe like a, hey, Dame, look, like we're still serious about winning. We just signed this veteran to a lot of money, or re-signed this veteran to a lot of money. Like, stay with us. And then obviously what ended up happening with Dame, they ended up pulling off the trade. Now it's just kind of like you're paying this guy $27 million, which is way too much money for him,
right,
to be on a bad team. And you're just essentially paying him so that you're not at the cap floor. I'm not a big Jeremy Grant guy.
I am.
I maybe would have if he were more near like the $20 million range.
Sure.
But just the $27 million, especially when Harrison Barnes signed for what he signed for.
He's better than Harrison
Barnes. Kyle Kuzma. Yeah, but is he, you know,
is he $7
million? $10 million right. each year for the next 4 years better than Harrison Barnes? I don't think he's making that big of an impact on your roster.
I think we need to look at the stats because I feel like Harrison on this team isn't doing what Jeremy Grant is doing. But again, sure. Is he doing $7 million more?
Oh, you want to look at the stats?
Let's get to a break.
Sorry.
When we get back, we will finish getting through the roster because there are a couple names on here that you never know. Maybe I won't talk about shaving my eyebrows because you never know.
Yeah, you just never do.
Like I said, we need baby's first beam. So I'm willing this into existence.
Yep.
We'll talk about something, maybe more chocolate bagels. Maybe I'll eat a chocolate bagel.
Oh,
if.
Yeah.
I'll eat a chocolate bagel with
some jalapeno
cream cheese if the Blazers win tonight. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. 10th official show, double digits,
okay.
And we're still doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Getting better, getting stronger in the gym,
yep.
On that muscle milk, on that creatine.
Yeah.
You know, Nate plays rugby. Nate, you were on the creatine or muscle milk?
I played rugby. I did vaguely, but I'm not that into creatine,
okay.
Really.
Oh,
I
think pre-workout. You look like a pre-workout guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little
it makes
C4.
Me psycho sometimes, you know?
I can
like,
see
seriously,
that.
I can't even do... I do, like, a half dose maybe sometimes, but it just makes my face itch. It makes me... My ears...
Palm sweaty. Mom spaghetti.
I'm getting all nervous thinking about it.
Yeah,
right?
I
never
you do
understood
you.
The pre-workout.
I had a phase.
It gets me like,
I had a phase.
I don't know.
I had a phase.
I understand people
strong.
Like it, but it just, it does itch.
Yeah, I had a phase, you know, and it's gone now. But we are still here, Stiles and Watkins, 10 a.m., 2 p.m., as we read through the Blazers roster as respectfully as possible. And now that I'm reading through it, the Kings better not mess around.
Oh, yeah?
They better not mess around. Not the way that, I'll put it to you like this. They come out. The way they came out against the Rockets on Monday, you could lose.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You could lose. You let Dominaton actually try to pull off
Live
that
up
nickname.
To his name? Come on.
Don't want to hear it. And talking about being respectful of rosters and teams, 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. On the text line, getting a little disrespectful from the 916. Is this the game Keegan and Chris swap jerseys and teams without anyone noticing? Can it hurt at this point?
Bro,
dang.
That's crazy.
Cold-blooded.
Especially considering I don't think Chris has really even gotten
I got the stats for you right
minutes.
Here. Just because
to
see if anybody would notice. Keegan Murray averaging 12.8 points a game, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, shooting 35.8% for the field. We will round up here and call it 36. Chris Murray, 0 points. 0.5 rebounds, 0 assists, and he doesn't even have a field goal percentage. He's played in 2 games. He's played 5.5 minutes total.
He's played 11 total
minutes.
So
let's chill out a little bit. I know this is a bit of trolling, and I love a good troll. But Keegan, he's struggling a little bit, but let's not be disrespectful to Keegan.
Yeah, let's relax, okay? Let's pump the brakes.
And let me tell you what, 916, you better chill out because you need Keegan.
Yeah.
This team needs Keegan. You not beaming without Keegan.
Mm-mm, no.
So you better hope that he does figure it out and that they don't swap because you really do need Keegan Murray to get back on track, specifically with, again, De'Aaron Fox out tonight against the Blazers. And who else is out for the Blazers? You have Scoot Henderson, who is out. Anfernee Simons, who is out. Robert Williams, who is out. And Ish Wainwright, who is out as well as we go through their roster to see just how much the Kings could mess around and be in trouble tonight. We ended on a guy that Chris and I are trying to figure out what deviant or what type of I guess, different version, right? You have your all your different versions of Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, for sure.
So which Harrison Barnes would
Jeremy Grant
be?
He'd be expensive Harrison Barnes right now, that's for sure. If I had to put one thing on him, it'd probably be expensive Harrison Barnes, or maybe like probably expensive Harrison Barnes would probably be the one.
I like Jeremy Grant more than Harrison Barnes.
That's fine. You can like the variants more than the original source. It's just, you know, he's just a different it's more just so like spiritually, like Jeremy Grant's not doing it for you. Like, he's never going to be the guy that you want him to be. That's more what it is. Like, he can put up better numbers than Harrison, but spiritually, at the end of the day, if he's your third best player, you're going to need a better third best player. That's more what it is that those guys, you know, every team that brings in Jeremy Grant convinces themselves that, oh, this is going to be a guy who's going to defend. He's going to hit threes. He's going to just change the way. It, a lot like how people talk about OG Anunoby. Maybe they're more so variants of each other than anything else. But I just don't truly believe that Jeremy Grant is a difference maker on any team. I think he's a good role player.
Right.
And I think that's where he's shown his most worth, is when he was, you know, in situations like he was with the Nuggets early in his career, with OKC early in his career. And it feels like people have just overvalued what he brings. And now we're sitting at a point where he makes $28 million a year for the next 5 years.
Well, I think, yes, a part of this is we did not think of him like this on the Thunder.
No,
right.
Definitely not.
And now that he's just been shooting the ball more on a bad team, all of a sudden people are probably, maybe I'm overvaluing him, but I do think he is significantly, I think significant, and I think that's where we differ.
Yeah.
But I did want to say, I said deviant, and that's I meant variance. We're talking completely different here. We're talking about variance here. So yes, of the variant of Harrison Barnes, that is Jeremy Grant. So next, Scoot Henderson, who isn't playing.
Yeah.
Today, after that, you have Chris Murray, who we just kind of joked about.
Right.
Chris Murray not really getting too many minutes right now.
In terms of scoring load, the three that really make me nervous for tonight are definitely, I mean, I think Shaedon Sharpe, clearly, just with how he's developed this year. Jeremy Grant, like you said, I mean, he's definitely somebody who's capable of putting up 25 to 30 points on any given night, and especially, you know, a night like when you're going against the Kings and everyone else is out, it feels like that's prime for a Jeremy Grant 30 piece. Malcolm Brogdon, too. Like, we were just talking about Malcolm Brogdon.
Right.
With this team, he's not really, I mean, he's still pretty much their only true ball handler or point guard or facilitator.
Crazy.
But he can put up buckets, and if you let him kind of get cooking and get comfortable, he can drop 20 on you as well. And you know, those are the guys that the Kings are going to have to slow down. Like, again, it's you got to live with, if I don't know. I mean, who even can put up points besides those? I mean, yeah, DeAndre Ayton, Malcolm Brogdon, Shaedon Sharpe, and Jeremy Grant are going to score, if I had to guess, 80, maybe even more, 80% of their points.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Skylar Mays is doing anything.
Well, Matisse Thybulle,
Matisse can hit 8 points max.
Yeah,
he can give you
two
corner threes,
right?
And he can maybe give you a layup or some free throws.
When he's in, his job is to shut down, whether it's Keegan or Malik, somebody like that. So that's really his job. But here's the thing, man. Sitting here trying to be disrespectful or not, they're 3-4.
For sure.
That's right in Kings range right now.
Yes, it
so
is.
So I don't.
They got more wins than the Kings.
They got
this year.
More wins than the Kings. So. Definitely cannot roll the ball out.
Definitely
you're at
not.
Home.
At home.
Golden
is the big
one.
Thing.
You
Come
better
on.
Be rocking. I know you want to see the beam, so you better be rocking, because if these guys sleep, right, this is an opportunity. Again, the Blazers are going to look at the Kings and say, this is a team on a three-game skid.
Yep.
They don't have their top guy, and they don't have much of an identity right now. They can't hit the backside of a barn.
Right.
And if you're the Kings, you're thinking, this is a get-right game.
Absolutely.
This is a get-right game, and if I'm Mike Brown, I know he doesn't like to force it to anybody. I do think last game they made it a point to try to get Kevin Huerter going.
Yeah.
I would do the same thing tonight and just add Keegan into that mix and try to get these guys rolling. Sabonis is going to be Sabonis. He's going to get his touches.
Yep.
And really, it's just going to be about, can you contain? I mean, a lot of people do sleep on DeAndre Ayton. You'll look up, he'll have a double-double.
Absolutely. Oh, almost. Yeah. That's
you know?
Almost a guarantee, almost. Like, what I wonder, too, is How much leeway do you think Golden 1 Center gives the Kings today?
Like before booing?
Yeah, before booing. Like if they're going into the first timeout and it's 9-4 Blazers, are they walking back to the bench with booze?
If you're losing at halftime by you got to be losing by 10 at halftime.
I really think it's first quarter boo birds could come out. I really think if they don't get off to a good start, people will feel the because they haven't been able to voice their frustration. Mm-hmm. Ever since De'Aaron's been out, the Kings have been on the road, and so fans have not been able to give the Kings their direct feedback. And I really think that if they get off to a slow start, now I'm not saying obviously the crowd will just completely get out of it, but it just wouldn't surprise me if the boo birds come out early if the Kings don't come out hot from the start, because frankly there's no excuse. Again, there's no excuse for them to not come out to this game with the most energy they've had probably in the Mike Brown era. Like it really is that drastic of a look. We need a jump start. We need to hit that you know, in Mario Kart when you hit the rainbow speed boost. That's what they need to hit that right now and just take off and continue at that speed. And I really do think it's that drastic that they need to come out with their hair on fire tonight. And I know I said that as well for Monday's game, but tonight feels even more so urgent.
The only here's my not problem, but I guess question in terms of hair on fire.
Uh-huh.
When you are at your core a jump shooting team.
Of course.
Now we're getting into a space to where defensively is one thing. You can come out very active on defense.
Yeah.
But offensively, we've already discussed how they're getting the most open looks. Shout out Deuce Mason. How they're getting the most open looks in the league. Mm-hmm. They're just not hitting them. So when you say come out with your hair on fire, is there an extra bit of, I'm going to focus more to hit these shots? You're not trying to miss.
No. When I say hair on fire, I more so mean like, I don't even mean energy. I just mean being sharp.
And
I guess that's almost counterproductive, so maybe I should just phrase it differently. But I more mean, like, you got to come around those screens. When you are running around a Domas screen and you're trying to come open up top, like, run as quick as you can, but also make sure, like, just be as precise as you can possibly be. The level of attention to detail needs to be at an extreme high. And, of course, defense effort is the biggest thing that you can control. And it's okay if you miss all of your wide open shots, as long as you're defending on the other end. And that's what Mike Brown talked about a lot against Houston after the first game, was just, hey, sometimes your shots aren't going to fall, but you can still win a game if you defend at a high enough level.
Especially against a team like this.
Especially against a team like this who, they don't have the belief. Like, if the Kings put the Blazers down early, they're probably going to fold. There's no reason for them to believe that they have enough weapons to keep up with this Kings team. And I think that the worst thing the Kings could do is let the Blazers back in this game in any capacity. If they get an early lead, don't let up. Like, again, make this a statement game. Make this a game like what we saw last year when they played the Brooklyn Nets on national TV and it was 153-120. Just step on the gas and don't let go. I mean, that's ideal. That's an ideal world, but I really think the Kings just need to come out and bring that defensive energy, but also just a level of focus on offense for sure, because I think it's clear that they're thinking too much on the offensive end and they just aren't flowing.
Yeah, and here we go right here. Blazers versus Kings. The spread, even without De'Aaron Fox.
Let's say 5.
It's 8.
It probably should be. Probably not with how the Kings are playing, but I think that you're banking in the, all right, are the Kings really going to have another letdown game? Or again, is this going to be a game where the Kings understand that, home court, you got the streak, the losing streak coming into it. So it's got all the perfect recipe for a get back game. And the Kings just have to go out there and execute it. Like there's really no reason why they should struggle with tonight. I mean, even that spread is banking in, like you said,
figure it out.
Banking in the fact that De'Aaron's not playing.
Right.
That is a figure it out, y'all should win by a lot regardless kind of spread.
Yeah, got to get to a break. When we get back, LeBron is complaining. Surprise, surprise.
What?
Styles and Watkins on a Wasabi Wednesday. Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Hang with us in 30 minutes. 30. We have Frankie Cardicelli joining us, Sacktown Sports Kings Insider. He will be in studio for a couple minutes here, two segments. So that'll be fun. Fun conversation. 12:15, the most controversial topic I have brought.
So nervous.
To Sacktown Sports on a Wasabi Wednesday. So we want you to be a part of that conversation as well. YouTube chat going off as usual, 916-339-1140. Call line, text line going crazy as usual. They want a Chris Murray and Keegan Murray swap because ain't doing a thing.
Stop it.
Not doing a dang thing. And you know who is doing something as far as complaining? That is LeBron and the Lakers, right? So LeBron, he claims that I think he did get called, right, the chosen one.
Yes.
He was infamously on, mm-hmm.
Sports Illustrated, yeah.
The whole King thing, though, I don't know who gave him. Did Brian Windhorst give him that nickname? Who gave him that nickname?
King James. I believe that was also like a Sports
Illustrated
thing.
Part of it. So, right, so he has the King tattoo. So LeBron, you know, LeBron has been spending a lot of time on social media, on Twitter, on X, and he, along with doing NFL.
Oh, yeah. The NFL picks have been great. That's my
favorite
thing.
He's very Magic Johnson to me. It's not as bad as Magic Johnson on Twitter, but it's very similar.
You know what I love most?
It's just LeBron.
Yeah, I love how even LeBron James, this billionaire, this guy who's done tons of different he's so nervous when he's doing, like, he's just, he becomes an actual human when he's like, how's it going, everybody? I'm LeBron James, and these are my week 15 NFL football picks. Like the Browns.
They're not sponsored. He just feels like doing it.
Loves Madden and loves NFL.
Right,
that's it.
Right. He's into
a simple
it.
Man with simple pleasures.
I think it's pretty funny. So we'll talk about the Lakers complaining in a little bit because I want to get your thoughts on other teams complaining. It's not the first time. But LeBron said something. He's responding to one of these million accounts, right? It's talking about if he went to the Heat, he wouldn't be this, he wouldn't be that. And LeBron goes, and I quote, I would still be at this level whether I went to the Heat or not.
Mm.
He goes on to say, I might not have as many rings, but dominance and quote unquote, whatever you call this level to be, I would still be there, which has caused a lot of conversation because LeBron is the biggest basketball player of this generation.
He called himself the Sun. He said, I am the Sun, and everybody revolves.
Yes.
He quite literally said that, like, during this summer. It's, yeah, he is. He really is. Like, everything revolves around that guy.
Do you believe what he said, that if he didn't go to the Heat, he would still be, quote-unquote, at this level?
Absolutely. 1,100%. There's just no doubt in my mind that LeBron, like, this is – the Miami thing, Miami was just the vessel that he decided to use, and it made it easier for him to win championships for sure. But I have no doubt it might have not been 9 straight years or whatever the ridiculous number of consecutive finals appearances he had. But LeBron was inevitable. The man is Thanos. Like, there is no universe in which he would not have dominated this entire generation. Like, who else would have stepped up in those years?
Well, the only reason I don't agree with you. But the only reason I will agree with part of what you're saying is because they only got 2 out there.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not as if what he did in Cleveland, right?
Sure.
So it's not as if he won 5 in Miami. He did only get 2. Now he went to what, 4? They were 2-4.
He went to 4, yes.
Because JJ Barea had his number and then the Spurs got his number.
Could argue they only, you know, they were one shot away
from only having one.
Yeah.
Right. But with that being said, the way in which he did it and how polarizing it became, and I'm taking my talents to Miami and having Dwayne Wade and having Chris Bosh, and I know the Celtics did it, but this was different. This was LeBron taking control the way he took control. Now, you're not saying that LeBron stays in Cleveland. He goes somewhere else, right? But just specifically going to Miami, I don't think he's as big. I don't think he's as big because the Heatles,
The villain arc was really big.
I mean, yeah. the hate watching and the rings, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know. Does he stay in Cleveland? Where else does he go? He talked about the Knicks. They're not winning nothing. Yeah. They're not winning. I mean, would have been him and Derrick Rose, maybe.
I mean, that's the thing. Who knows if, like, I mean, there's sliding glass doors of, like, what happens with Jimmy.
Right.
Like, you know, does Derrick Rose maybe stay a little healthier because they're not much mileage on his knees and not as much usage? Like, who knows? I just think that LeBron James, the talent, would have found himself in at least the conference finals and if not the NBA finals more of those years than not. And like, is there maybe we're talking about him slightly different because Steph would have more rings than LeBron at this point. But I...
That pains you.
I'm just trying to gloss right by that one. I feel like LeBron... he was the chosen one when he was in high school. Like I think that this guy, he went to the NBA finals, let's not forget, before he was with the Miami Heat. He never won before he was with the Heat, but he still dragged a Cleveland Cavaliers team with second best player Mo Williams and Zydrunas Ilgauskas to a finals series. So I think he still would have made the finals. I think he probably still beats OKC. I even wonder if LeBron meets Dallas in a different situation in that finals, if it goes differently for him, because I think a big part of what LeBron was going through was just the passive nature of him and also the I'm playing with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, let me defer to those guys because those guys are
still
great
doing
as well.
Now. He just did a couple days ago.
Yeah, he threw it to Cam Reddish for a game winner, which is just insane.
Not going to work.
So I think LeBron is still LeBron if he doesn't go to Miami. Definitely, it's a different story, but if anything, I think it's probably more romanticized, if anything. Like, I think LeBron has definitely created some polarization with the enemy arc that he went through in Miami, and I think a lot of people never got over it. And so I think if he doesn't do it, I think a lot of people are looking at him more as like this prophetic figure, as this guy who, again, was the chosen one, was supposed to bring championships, and he was Anakin Skywalker and then turned into Darth Vader. I think he just would have been viewed more positively, but I think he still would have been the LeBron James that we know today.
So from a basketball perspective, I think LeBron still would be as dominant. Yeah. He would still be LeBron. I don't know if he has as many rings. But LeBron as a ultra as a super megastar without that villain arc, I don't think he's as big. I don't think he's as big. We did these numbers a couple weeks ago. Steph Curry, who is probably the second biggest star in the NBA, and I know I hate to take it, you know, as the kids say, to Instagram, but LeBron has about 30 million more followers than Steph, which I found to be very surprising.
Right.
LeBron is in a different stratosphere because he is so polarizing. If he never goes to Miami, he's never as polarizing. And maybe if he doesn't do it the way he did it, maybe half of it is just the announcement.
Right.
Maybe if he just goes and writes a letter like KD, my next chapter, maybe it's different. So maybe it's less about the location and more about how he did
it.
But without that villain arc, I think that the hate watching that came with LeBron or the love affair that came with LeBron, because we talk so much about people that hate LeBron, as we see on the YouTube chat. You say 2 minutes on LeBron is too much. It's too much. And it doesn't help that now as Kings fans, he's in the purple and gold. Hey, but LeBron,
one of our two wins right there.
One of the two wins with AD, right? On. Mr. Glass himself. Yep. So when you look at LeBron and the emotion that comes off when you talk about LeBron,
for sure.
There are people like you that feel like that with Steph. You're also a Kings fan.
How's it going?
There are not a lot of people that feel like that with Steph.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that Kevin Durant really was very similar to LeBron. He didn't do it the same way. He did just write the letter in the Players Tribune,
still
my next chapter,
trolled.
Which still gets trolled
to this day.
He went to a worse situation than LeBron. But because Kevin Durant, he won a couple, now he left, and now he's in some weird... in some weird vortex and trying to do something with the Suns now. Kevin Durant, he had the cupcake thing in OKC, but he was nowhere nearly as hated as LeBron has been. So I understand what you're saying from a basketball perspective.
Yeah.
But without Miami, without hate, without...
That's super interesting. Yeah.
Without people having that feeling, right, of, how many people have you heard say, I mean... You can't deny what he does on the what he does off the basketball court, but you know, I just
I don't like him.
I just don't like him. ever since the Miami thing
is, really,
you know, and they've been saying that for years without it. Right. And there's something to be said about I'm taking my control. I'm taking my power into my own hands and I'm going to become a winner.
Right.
Because you can say whatever you want. Those rings will be with me for history. You want me to stay in Cleveland because I was born in Akron and even a kid from Akron. Right. Yep. You want me to stay in Cleveland and lose? No. Yeah. And I didn't like it either. Nobody liked it. Yeah. Right. And that first NBA finals when they lost, I cheered. I watched J.J. Barea refuse to get posted up, and it was funny to me.
Yeah.
Right? And then once he finally did it, and then he comes back and he wins in Cleveland, he still brings something home. That arc, I think, not to compare to Michael Jordan, is just completely different.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the conversation between LeBron and MJ is one of the best conversations in sports, because it'll never end.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many things you
different
can
paths,
pull and pick, and now LeBron's a scoring champion.
Right.
And he might mess around and get one more. Who knows? He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He does not care. So, you know, for LeBron to come out and say, I would be just as dominant, I think that's true. He also covered his butt by saying, I wouldn't have as many rings. Okay, so who are you Carmelo?
Right.
Who are you?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, and LeBron, he does a lot of talking. He's getting close. I know KD had burners. He's getting close to KD status on Twitter. He will find, he's on NBA Central.
That's random.
These aren't even real. These aren't necessarily real accounts, and LeBron will respond to anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a... It's a really great point that you bring up about the Miami thing, because I do think a lot of people do directly point to the decision as the thing that was the turning moment for them, and they just never looked back from it. Because like you said, it's that exact quote has been said to me so many times.
So many times.
I love LeBron. Great stuff off the floor. Yeah, the school, the everything he does. Great guy. But yeah, ever since the Miami decision, I just didn't like how he went about it.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have done it a lot nicer. He just left the poor people of Cleveland on red and, you know, did it on national TV. And yeah, and also not to mention the fact that moment is the direct kind of launch point for this player empowerment era.
Yeah.
And what if LeBron doesn't have that moment, what does that mean for how people, because people credit and also blame LeBron for that as well. Like it's become all of it is almost all is part of the LeBron conversation.
Right.
All starts from that decision from that night,
which is crazy because we got to get to a break, which is crazy because LeBron never broke a contract ever.
Mm. Yeah. Good point.
He waits.
Yeah.
He waits.
And he signs them. But part of that is because he's smart with how he signs his deals. He doesn't do, James Harden, I'll just sign a 4-year.
Don't ever put him in the same convo as James Harden.
He's just like, no, I'm just going to sign a 1-year deal because you guys might suck after this year.
And I'm out.
And I'm out.
And just like
and
Thanos, I'm destroying planets.
Yep. Yes.
I'll take what I want and I will destroy the planet shortly after. Got to get to a break. When we get back, complaining about calls, sending in notes to the league. Do you like when teams do it? Would you care if your team did it? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.